We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. You can hear in the podcast version, John Cobell Show on Demand, same as the radio show, and you could pick up whatever you missed. Today was day one, opening arguments in the Trump trial, the first Trump trial, the one that involves him. He's being charged with falsifying business records. He was hiding the payments to keep the Stormy Daniels situation a secret. And it's felony charges. If you don't know about it by now, then you're probably not even listening to me to begin with. We are going to talk with Peter Harlambous. I hope I'm saying that right. He is with ABC News, because not only did we have opening arguments, but we had the first witness testify as well. Peter, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
I was kind of disappointed because there was only one witness and he was only up there for a brief time. That would be David Pecker, who runs the National Enquirer.
Honestly, we didn't hear that much from David Pecker today. So he got barely an hour of testimony in. Basically, the court is taking two half days this week in observance of Passover. So Pecker took the stand, which was important because we now know who the first witness is in the case. But he didn't say that much beyond explaining what his role was at the National Enquirer. His testimony is expected to pick back up at 11 o'clock tomorrow, where we think he's going to actually go more towards the heart of the case, this cash and kill scheme and the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels and two others.
We'll go through the opening arguments, if you could summarize both sides.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this was vital for the jurors here. Functionally, they got a brief summary of the case from the judge during the jury selection process. But this was really the first time they were able to hear the allegations against Trump in detail, and also for the first time hear Trump's defense. Prosecutors made it very blunt at the top. They said it's an election fraud, pure and simple. They're calling this Trump's attempt to corruptly influence the 2016 presidential election. They argued that through this arrangement with the National Enquirer, Trump was able to identify and then subsequently kill at least three stories about him that could have hurt his campaign in 2016. And then when it came time to repay his lawyer for at least one of those payments, he falsified business records. Trump's lawyers equally fired back here, saying President Trump is innocent. He didn't commit any crimes. Yes, he did influence the election. But at the end of the day, functionally here, influencing elections is basically the heart of a democracy. And there's nothing illegal, for example, about a non-disclosure agreement between him and Stormy Daniels, for example. So they got a good summary of the case, and they're going to learn more about it tomorrow when they hear Pecker.
Pecker, whatever he did talk about, involved what their business model was at the National Enquirer. They paid for stories, or they paid to suppress stories, depending if you were a friend or not.
It was kind of remarkable to hear that in detail from Pecker. He basically said, you know, each of my editors was told, you have $10,000 to chase a story. That's your budget. Go find something salacious about a celebrity and come back to me. And anything that would require more than $10,000 would require his oversight. So the three hush money payments at the center of this trial, $130,000 for Stormy Daniels, $150,000 for Karen McDougal, a former Playboy actress, and then $30,000 for a Trump Tower doorman who alleged falsely that Trump had a child out of wedlock. Each of those theoretically would have required some degree of David Pecker's oversight. So while today wasn't the most fascinating or headline-creating testimony from Pecker, he laid the groundwork. He laid the foundation for what we expect to be much more relevant and substantive testimony tomorrow.
Right. Now, ordinarily, this would be a bookkeeping crime, a misdemeanor, but they make it a felony because they claim that by trying to disguise the reason for the payments, it was to improperly influence the election. So that made it a federal crime, a misdemeanor in service of a much larger violation.
That's exactly right. And prosecutors didn't go into that much detail about that point of connection, basically, this whole idea that it's not just, you know, proving that Trump signed false business records. For example, signing a check that falsely said it was for Michael Cohen's legal expenses. They need to prove that it was in furtherance of an additional crime, for example, a campaign finance regulation or a tax crime. We expect to hear that in further detail, and it's really a major sticking point here. They need to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump not only committed these financial Trump not only falsified these records, but was doing them in furtherance of another crime. And if any jurors are skeptical of that or are holdouts, you know, it could lead to a pretty bad outcome for the Manhattan District Attorney. A hung jury, for example, an acquittal. We'll have to see.
If they believed that he falsified the paperwork just to cover up the embarrassment, keep it from his wife, keep it from the public, that is not a serious enough reason to charge him a felony.
According to Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, let's say Trump was just paying, you know, Stormy Daniels for a non-disclosure agreement. Fundamentally, there's nothing wrong with that in Trump's eyes. And as Trump went into the hallway after court today to explain to reporters, you know, what else was he going to label a payment to his lawyer, Michael Cohen, other than legal expenses? We assume that'll be the heart of Trump's case, and Trump might actually testify in his own defense to make that point.
All right, Peter, thanks very much.
Peter, thanks for having me.
All right, he's with ABC News. And Peter Haralambos, I think I got it right. I always get it right by time. It doesn't matter. I just don't see the crime here. Trying to cover up bad stories is what every campaign does. Every campaign covers up bad stories. You would, too, if you were running and you had some ghosts in your closet. You'd try to do everything you can to convince people to shut up. Don't talk about that. Don't leak this out. Here, what can I do for you? What can I pay you? That goes on in every single major campaign in the history of humanity. So I don't. And the idea that you're trying to influence an election, well, you're running for office. Of course you're trying to influence an election, right? What else do candidates do but try to emphasize the positive about their candidacy and their personality and their background and hide the negative, hide the bad stuff? That's what everybody does. I don't see the crime here. You know, it's up to the other side to dig up the dirt and broadcast it, which they did anyway. It's not like we didn't hear about all this eventually. I get it. It's definitely a political attack, but if people can't see that it's a political attack by a sitting president's campaign, I don't really know what to tell you. It's not a felony that requires a conviction and imprisonment. Yeah, he's covering up the affair. That's what every single guy in the world would do. and they would pay to cover it up if it, you know, if the consequences were big enough. More coming up. We got to talk about what's going on in Columbia and Yale. Oh my God, there's these huge anti-Jewish riots. I mean, these Palestinian students and these pro-Hamas students, they really want all the Jews to die. They really do. It's so nuts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. It's absolute insanity has taken over the Ivy League campuses back east. And I mean, some of this has hit Berkeley pretty hard, but you have, I don't know where all these people came from. I don't know where they've been hiding, but they have been ignited by this after Hamas went in and brutalized the Israelis. The Israelis now decided they were going to stamp out this horrific terrorism organization, Hamas. And here come all these pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas, anti-Jewish, we want all the Jews dead, we want Israel wiped off the map crowd. And they're screaming for hours. And they look like these stupid, spoiled toddlers, just shrieking and screaming. I don't know how they have the energy to do this for months at a time. I mean, this is going on forever. And it's not changing the course of the war at all. And you know what happens when you have toddlers and they don't get their way? They start screaming louder and louder, and then they start throwing their bodies on the ground. I have three sons. And one of them, at an airport, had the biggest fit in the history of tantrums. He was 2 years old, and I had a philosophy was on certain things, I'm just not giving in. And my wife and I agreed on that. And he had one in an airport, and I feel bad for the other people at the airport, but he flung himself on the ground, and he screamed for about 45 minutes and exhausted himself and never did it again. Now, everybody there wasn't that many people in the lounge at the time, but anybody with an earshot had to pay the price of listening to it. But I got a lifetime of peace in that regard afterwards, because somewhere in that little tiny feeble brain of his at 2 years old, he figured out that screaming for 45 minutes and throwing yourself on the ground was not going to get any advantage. And, you know, to some extent, I guess maybe it's what we should do. But this crowd is working itself up into violence, because really what they want, they want all the Jews to die. And here, let's play cut number three to give you a taste of it. This is anti-Jewish, anti-Israel protesters at Yale.
Up not with liberation.
There was one woman who stabbed in the eye, Jewish woman. Did you see her? Which school was she from? Was she from Columbia?
I believe it was Yale.
Yeah, yeah. She got stabbed in the eye with a flag. I mean, they're getting violent. A lot of Jewish students are being chased around the campus, constantly threatened. They're not allowed to meet. They're not allowed to speak. I mean, this is Nazi Germany all over again. It really is. Came back.
It was Yale. It was Jewish student journalist. She was stabbed in the eye with a flagpole.
Yeah. Here's the New Haven police giving the Yale students, the protesters, a warning if they don't disperse.
We give it a few minutes to clear this area. Points of egress are High Street or Wall Street. No one will stop you from leaving. If you do not leave, you will be arrested. We will give you time to leave. If you do not leave, you will be arrested.
The police arrested at least 47, handcuffed and hauled away. Because they were charged with trespassing. And maybe Yale's going to discipline them and suspend them. Maybe not. Who knows? There was about 200 protesters. And they started building tents. Yeah, here's the woman, Sahar Tartak, editor-in-chief of the Yale Free Press. She was covering the protest, surrounded by demonstrators, hundreds of people taunting me and waving the middle finger at me. Oh, that's a good one. Waving the middle finger. And then this person waves a Palestinian flag in my face and jabs it in my eye. When I tried to go after him, the protesters got in a line and stopped me. These are sick people. Are they all American, or did they come? Are they here on a student visa? Because if they're on a visa, they ought to have that visa canceled. And they ought to get deported immediately.
And these schools are
horrible.
But they're so hard to get into, also. So I mean, here are these people are getting into these elite schools and doing this stuff.
Yeah, and the leaders are horrible. The people running the school, the chancellors and all the deans, they're doing nothing to stop the anti-Jewish lunatics. I mean, no other ethnicity could be treated like this. And we all know this, right? If they were going after black students or Hispanic students or anybody else, but Jewish students, open season. And I honestly, I mean, I'm not an idiot. I know there's a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment out there and always will be. But I can't believe that all these school chancellors and presidents and deans and this and that, all their stupid titles, that they all engage and support this stuff and allow this stuff. This isn't free speech. This is terrorism. Play cut horror. Oh, here we go, one of them. This is, maybe I should play this after the news, because this is a couple of minutes. Here's one I'm going to play when we come back. You'll hear a Columbia professor named Shai Davidai. He's an Israeli. They locked him out of the Columbia University campus by the COO. They deactivated his key card. He's the one who got locked out of campus. I've been to Columbia. It's a beautiful university. So is Yale. I don't know what's going on. It seems like everybody's having a mental breakdown, just like a huge universal nervous breakdown. More coming up.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand, also on the iHeart app. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to talk with Jeff Briggs. Remember Jeff Briggs? We had him on a couple of weeks ago. He was the attorney who was the top bidder, and he won the right to be a co-host for a day on the show. And He got really great reviews from the audience.
I missed it. I'm so bummed.
You'll see when he comes. He'll be on the phone, but you'll see he's really good. And one thing we talked about at length was his work in his legal work he does regarding homelessness. And today was a really big day. This could be a life-changing day for a lot of cities on the West Coast plagued with homelessness, because some years ago, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal issued two rulings, and it gave rights to people camping. And, it said that the Eighth Amendment says it's cruel and unusual punishment to arrest someone who's homeless if they've got nowhere to go. And it gave the cities and towns something to hide behind, saying, hey, we can't move them. And truth is, you can move them, but you have to meet certain criteria, like having a shelter bed for them. And a lot of the cities and towns didn't want to open the shelter beds necessary. In any event, they had the hearing before the Supreme Court today, where all these cities and towns fighting against these activist groups. And maybe that appeals court decision is going to get overturned by the Supreme Court. Jeff Briggs has done a lot of work on this issue, and he's going to be back on the show to talk about it coming up after 3 o'clock. Okay, we were in the middle of discussing the insane reaction among all these Israel-hating, Jew-hating students that have infiltrated Columbia, Yale, and many other elite colleges around the country. And I'm going to play a clip to show you how things have turned upside down, because an Israeli professor from Columbia tried to get on the Columbia campus and found that his key card was deactivated. He was the bad guy. At Columbia, they arrested 114 protesters on Thursday. And the New York Post did an investigation as to who these people are. And it's amazing. It's always upper middle class rich kids. One of them was a woman who is an intern for the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James. She's the one going after Trump. The daughter of a prominent UPS executive, William Steward, and his daughter, Isabel Seward. And Isabel Seward has the notoriety of killing a married couple in their 70s in a car accident that she caused. When she was 16 years old in 2020, Isabel Seward veered her Toyota Tacoma pickup truck across a double yellow line on Route 7 in Vermont and killed Chet and Connie Hawkins. She pleaded no contest to a civil traffic ticket and was given a $220 fine, which her mother paid. But her bad driving killed that couple. The Letitia James intern is someone named Avery Reed, who worked on gender equality for the Joe Biden campaign. Let me see here. There's another Columbia protester, Isabel Justy. Her family owns a $3 million home in Savannah, Georgia. 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms. Mia Roque belongs to the unit called Columbia University College Democrats. She's going to be working for Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin. And they go on and on going into the backgrounds. But I noticed that out here with the homeless activists, we're generally rich white kids. In Portland, a lot of the activists who are causing all that mayhem during the summer of 2020 and beyond, were rich white activists, upper middle class white activists, men and women. And I don't think they'll ever do a sociology study on this, but it's fascinating. Like, poor kids really don't have time for this crap. Middle class kids don't have time for this crap because they've got to go to school every day so they could work for a living. And poor kids have to go to school and work for a living, maybe both. But rich kids don't. Rich kids know they're going to be taken care of and coddled for the rest of their lives, so they can engage in these weird boutique issues to obsess on, and they get their importance by being self-righteous and woke. Let's go back to what I mentioned at the beginning of the segment, Shai Davidi, Columbia professor. He's Israeli, and while they were arresting all those people at Columbia, he found out he couldn't get in. He was denied entry by the CEO, Cass Holloway. Davidi's key card was deactivated. Here's what it sounded like.
This is the COO of the university. Are we not letting the media in?
What?
Can you back up, please? My card has been deactivated? Yeah. Why?
Can you back up, please?
Uh-huh. Wait. Whoa. Everybody, my card has been deactivated. This is Cass Holloway, the COO. This is Gerald Lewis. They were in the meeting where I asked them if Hamas is a terror organization, and they couldn't say that it is a terrorist organization. Why? I'm a professor. Why can't I?
Shai,
we
are willing to take you to the math lawn.
No, I am a professor here.
We are columnists. We have a
right. Whoa. Everybody quiet. I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support Hamas on campus and me, a professor, not go on campus. Let me in now.
Let us in.
No.
Let Shai in.
Are you not letting a professor go on
campus? Let him in.
And you know
what?
You're going to let me in any public space on campus, and you know this. If you are not allowed there, then you say that you're not allowed there. I am allowed there. And wait, no, listen to me now. You will listen to me. You know what? I wish you'd let me into my job. Everybody, please. Can I stand here so people will see?
Let me stop it for a second. You get the idea. So the Israeli professor at Columbia isn't allowed to go to work. But here's some of the things that the pro-Hamas supporters are chanting. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Go Hamas, we love you. And again, these are all rich kids. I don't know if they're all Americans. I imagine some of them are here on education visas, and those should be canceled now. Here's a white girl. Wearing a, how do you say it, a keffiyeh?
Yeah, keffiyeh.
Keffiyeh, yeah, that is the headscarf. And this is from one account of the protest. And she's wearing a keffiyeh. She's holding a placard with an arrow that says, Al-Qassam's next target. Al-Qassam is the military wing of Hamas. So the placard says, Al-Qassam's next targets with a arrow pointed towards the Jewish students next to them waving the Israeli flag. In other words, kill these people. It's sick stuff. It's exactly what you'd expect if you'd gone to Germany in 1938. Just as the entire Holocaust generation is 100% dying out, there's very few left at that exact moment that there is no human memory to talk about what Germany was like in the 1930s. It's now resurfacing. And in place of the Germans, it's Palestinians and people who support Palestinians and Hamas. And don't let them fool you with the rhetoric. They support the terrorist group. And they're pretty clear. And everything they say is about wiping Israel off the map. They have a new chant going that goes, we don't want no two states. We want 48, meaning 1948. That was the last year that Israel did not exist. We don't want no two states. We want all of it. In other words, all of Israel is seized. And Palestine covers the entire area. So what would you do with the 9 million Jews? Oh, I guess you would kill them all, right? You'd incinerate them. So their message is very clear. They're not sugarcoating it. They're not using any euphemisms. You know exactly what... here, apparently, at Columbia, Barack Obama went to Columbia, by the way, they're chanting to Jews, October 7th is going to be every day for you. We got more coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, it was a big day at the U.S. Supreme Court. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals had made two decisions in recent years, which hamstrung to some extent the city's capability to clear homeless people out of their encampments. And now many of those cities and towns filed or part of a lawsuit, which has gone to the Supreme Court to appeal the Ninth Circuit decision. We're going to talk with Jeffrey Briggs. He was the attorney who was co-host for the day on the show after having the top bid at Chef Bruno's Katerina's Club event. And he has worked with groups to legally try to force the cities and counties to clear encampments. In fact, he filed amicus briefs to the Supreme Court in this case. So let's see what he thought of the arguments today. One more thing about the insanity back east at the campuses at Columbia and Yale specifically with all the arrests. Robert Kraft, and this might be the best way to get the idiots who run, the cowardly idiots who run these institutions to stop allowing all this hatred, all this anti-Jewish hatred. Robert Kraft is the owner of the New England Patriots, and he has donated a lot of money to Columbia, and he's pulling it. And he put out a message today. It was through the full academic scholarship Columbia gave me that I was able to attend college and get my start in life. And for that, I have been tremendously grateful. However, the school I love so much, the one that welcomed me and provided me with so much opportunity, is no longer an institution I recognize. I'm deeply saddened at the virulent hate that continues to grow on campus and throughout our country. I'm no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff, and I'm not comfortable supporting the university until corrective action is taken. It is my hope that Columbia and its leadership will stand up to this hate by ending these protests immediately and will work to earn back the respect and trust of the many of us who have lost faith in the institution. It is my hope that in this difficult time, the Kraft Center at Columbia will serve as a source of security and safety for all Jewish students. And he goes on, but that's what's got to happen is the money spigot has to be cut off, because I'm sure there are many, many Jewish families who have donated billions of dollars over the years. And now they're seeing Jewish students being chased and threatened and injured and terrorized and beat up. And this constant chanting of death to Israel and death to the Jews, it's got to stop. And it would be stopped for any other ethnic group, any other race, any other minority group, whether it be race or gender or whatever, it wouldn't be tolerated. And I all these administrators ought to be taken away. They really ought to be taken away and locked up somewhere. They're really evil people. They're horrible people. All right. Now, on a completely different note, I was saving this for you. all right, Deborah, you tell me, how do you think this 31-year-old Chinese woman fell into an active volcano in Indonesia?
She was taking a selfie.
You are correct. She was taking a selfie, posing for sunrise pictures as the pictures were coming over the top of the volcano. And her skirt got caught on some rocks. No. She started tumbling backwards and she went into the volcano.
I mean, come on. Look, you have to give this lady a break. I mean, I would be wanting to take a selfie, too.
That's why I waited for you to come back to tell you this. Because are you traveling?
Can you imagine?
Wanting to see the sunrise over the volcano.
Yeah, I'll never do that now.
Yeah. Here's how she posed. She's posing on the rim of the volcano with one leg raised.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Clouds of steam and sulfur gas behind her. And she fell 250 feet into the mouth of the volcano.
That's
what?
That's very sad.
What? Yes, you're the one laughing.
No, I'm laughing because, first of all, I could see the enticement of that.
Really, you can?
I can. Yes, but I would be very careful. Not to say that she wasn't careful, but
I like looking at those things and standing back about you know, 10 feet.
I would have to.
That if I trip, I'd just fall on my face and I wouldn't end up in the volcano.
I'd have to be there and assess the situation and, you know, weigh the risks and the benefit of having a perfect picture.
That's what's going to happen on your next trip.
Oh, I know.
You're going to fall into a volcano.
And then you won't have me to come on the show to tell you what happened. I'll just be dead.
There's going
to
be this tiny little zzzz. Where are you going next, by the way?
I don't have any vacation plans at all.
Well, you'll be going alone.
And it's very depressing because usually I do have something planned. I'll be by myself.
We should just warn the people in advance.
I know.
All right. Deborah's got the news. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jeff Briggs. Jeff Briggs is an attorney who has done a lot of work on this homeless issue. In fact, he has filed briefs with the Supreme Court on today's exact case involving Boise, Idaho, Grants Pass, Oregon. They had ordinances to ban camping in public places, and they ran into the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that wouldn't let them do it. Finally, it's appealed to the Supreme Court. How did the arguments go? How did the justices seem to be leaning? We're going to ask Jeff Briggs about it when we come back. Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.